you know, from a public health perspective, the reduction of gun violence and injuries require intervention services at the most effective and critical time when someone presents themselves at an emergency department or a trauma center. So hospitals have protocols and prevention programs in place for child abuse or sometimes suicide individual, yet a gunshot victim is often overlooked and released without any type of intervention. In Pennsylvania in 2005, the Governor's Commission to Address Gun Violence was created by an executive order. It was charged with developing recommendations to address the issue of gun violence, injuries, and deaths. At the same time, our Secretary of Health, Dr. Calvin Johnson, who's also a former pediatrician on the medical staff at Temple University Children's Medical Center, had the vision for a system where firearm victims would receive timely referrals and interventions and follow-up interventions to stop the cycle of violence in their lives. The Commission released this report in 2005 and recommended the development of this system and statewide implementation of a real-time hospital-based injury surveillance system that is actively connected to social services and intervention providers. Unfortunately, funding was obtained through the support of our state representative, Dwight Evans, and Governor Rendell for $1.3 million. In this presentation, I will identify firearm injury as a costly public health problem, describe how an injury tracking and intervention system can address youth violence, and identify issues relevant to expanding the system statewide and even into other localities outside of the state. So when we looked at the data, this is for our youth 0 to 19 in 2004 in the state, and 20.5% of the deaths were related to firearms. And what this backs up what the commission had asked us to do was that we knew a lot about motor vehicle crashes and some proven interventions, but we didn't know as much about the firearm injuries and deaths. And then also, when we look at across the whole lifespan among males, you can see that the crude rate per 100,000 peaks around the ages 15 to 19 in the red for homicide by firearm. And then further on, later in life, it's the suicide by firearm among the older adults. And right now this project is focused on the youth firearm, but there's also reason to believe that this could be expanded in the rural areas to those that are suicide-related firearm deaths. So when we started thinking about how to pilot this program, we looked at the data, and Philadelphia overall represents 55.8% of all hospital discharges related to firearms among ages 15 to 24. And that of the 8 Philadelphia trauma centers, they would see about 49.6% of those hospitalized. And then just among 3 trauma centers, we would see 38.3%. So this presented to us as an excellent way to pilot the project. And some other interesting things was there was a study also done on the cost, and in Pennsylvania it's about $127 million per year related to the hospital charges for firearm-related injuries. We knew young adults, blacks, and males had the highest hospitalization rates and that this was a significant and costly public health problem. So this is what the system looks like. And I have to admit that this isn't exactly the drawing we had at the beginning. It's been a work in progress. But as you can see, here are all the key components of the system. It's the collection of the information on the injuries specific to firearms and developing new programs and evaluating, and the development of the multi-system intervention for the victim and family. And it's seen by over in the left-hand corner at the bottom, is where referrals are received from the trauma centers up top, and that the patient really only interacts between the hospitals and our case management lead, the Philadelphia Health Management Corporation. And then the data is on the other side between the Department of Health, University of Pennsylvania, and the Firearm Injury Center at Penn. So it's a very unique flowing information system. But we're hoping to reduce the risk of recurring youth violence through this, provide victims and their families with case management and other social and trauma-related services, and provide community-based programs with information to better target, develop, and evaluate the prevention activities. And now I'd like to mention some of the partners, and many of them are in the audience today. We have the three trauma centers of Einstein Medical Center, Hospital University of Pennsylvania, and the Temple University Hospital. And then our administrative arm and our case management leader, Philadelphia Health Management Corporation. Partners like the Philadelphia Department of Public Health, the Philadelphia Anti-Drug Anti-Violence Network, Pennsylvania Trauma Systems Foundation, which has the trauma registry that we use for the medical data to link it with our case management data, the Center for Clinical Biostatistics and Epidemiology at Penn, the Firearm and Injury Center at Penn, and various members of the Peer Advisory Board, including Child Death Review and all Philadelphia Schools of Public Health, and the Blueprint for a Safer Philadelphia, which is also a program as an initiative of Representative Dwight Evans. So some things that we were trying to work out in the beginning was the referral process. How are we going to refer the patients that came into the trauma center to the case management services? And basically what ended up being developed was a simple form that collected some basic demographic information, is faxed to the Philadelphia Health Management Corporation, to the case management supervisor, and then that person within the first 24 hours worked on getting direct communication with the victim and or the family. They've been able to do that in about 80% of the cases. Sometimes the person's not medically stable. Other times maybe they've already gone home. It all depends on the severity of the firearm injury. And there's always the effort to meet face-to-face, either in the hospital or at home, but sometimes a telephone call is done instead. Some other things, in order to support the referral process, many trainings have happened, including grand rounds, brown bag trainings, and other information sharing activities among the three trauma centers and the staff involved in order to get the project off the ground and to see if there are any issues that were coming up that need to be addressed. And then also another major task was data collection and the issues of integrating the trauma registry with the case management and other data sources that are available in the city of Philadelphia. On this slide, this is the case management activities. And some things I just want to point out is the biopsychosocial assessment, which is the GAIN Q, and it's administered 2 weeks after the incident, as long as the person's medically stable, and then repeated every 3 months to assess those biopsychosocial factors. Some other communications is a case conference, going out to the homes to meet with the participant and or their family, going to the hospital, bringing the participant to the case manager's office, going to a rehab facility, making the phone call, whatever it takes. And advocacy and support. There's ongoing community outreach. There's information gathering and community assessment. And community rallies are held with some of our partners, and we try to engage the families to participate to show how violence impacted their lives and then how Peeris is making a difference. And then there's also inquiry and follow-up into participant involvement in the legal system and coordination with community partners on behalf of the participants. So these are some of the early results for the first full fiscal year that we had activity. And we engaged 104 clients, which is about 66% of the cases that presented at the trauma centers. So they found that 66% were willing to at least think about being in Peeris. And then you can see what length of enrollment is and the discharge reasons. And then characteristics, it's 92% African-American males, 89% are living with their family, and 25% have children. Even, you know, you see that 89% are still living with family. Age group from 15 to 17-year-olds is 16%, but 84% among the other part of the age group being targeted. 66% were never on parole or probation. Some other interesting things learned was about 75% of the youth were relatively easy to engage initially. And those were, these youth tended to be younger, have stable living situations, had identified and working towards goals already before the incident, were a victim of random shooting, or had the more severe medical outcomes and were more concerned about their health outcomes and being able to get back on their trajectory. So these are some of the case management types, and just want to point out that most of the goals of the Peeris participants were health, employment, and education. Some examples are referring the Peeris participant's brother to a substance abuse program, helping a mother obtain a state ID to go for penal visits, getting summer employment for a sibling, emergency food assistance, being referred to Focus on Fathers, and Christmas holiday assistance programs. And some other milestones included receiving financial assistance through different publicly funded programs, returning to employment, health insurance, earning their GED or high school diploma, and relocating and completing probation and parole. So evaluation has been done on a couple of things. It's a qualitative review of the operational components of PIRIS, examining the development of the multi-system intervention for the victim and their families, and a separate review examining issues relevant to expansion statewide and to other localities. Year one recommendations were mostly focused on process. You need to identify any issues with the referral forms, and they were updated, making sure assured data are appropriate, facilitate completion correctly, and adding time and location of the shooting. Also, some other issues that were raised in the first year was what is okay to share outside of the hospital in this HIPAA environment, how human subjects issues have been addressed, and how data will be reported and shared across the sites so that one trauma center knew what the other one was doing and can learn from each other. Exploring redundant systems for identifying prospective participants, meaning this is just trauma center focused because we have trauma center data in Pennsylvania. We do not have an ED data system. But obviously we are missing those who present to emergency department and are admitted, or those who go to emergency department and are released. Right now those interventions aren't taking place. Some other ones is having regular in-service staff sessions for feedback, sharing of experiences among the hospitals, the case management, and the community partnerships. Improving communication both vertically and horizontally to maintain the buy-in into the program, and standardization of the PIRIS process. Well, it's been kind of debated, and it's been kind of good to remain flexible because each trauma center has their own way of doing things. And if we were to standardize too much, it might hinder the process a bit. So we've kind of let it grow and work in each trauma center the way that works best. So just to give you an idea of where the $1.3 million went to, most of it went to the data and best practices and case management. 6% went to the administration and communications products, and that's where I want to mention some of that here. We've done a video that was completed earlier this year that shows two PIRIS participants and their positive experiences with PIRIS. We have a website, PIRIS-PA.org, where you can actually view the video through a download and look at all the other information, most of it which is in this presentation. Brochures to give to potential participants, those to the general public, legislators, or any other person with influence to make sure this keeps going in Philadelphia and the state. One-pager for partners that when they do any type of outreach, they have the specific points to talk about what PIRIS is and what it's doing, and then different community engagements and presentations. The evaluation has been using a different things. It's been using the gain assessment to look at the follow-up points to see what's changed among the participants, satisfaction surveys, using the case management MIS to track, you know, are they reaching their goals and objectives that they've set for themselves, and then case studies of value added of PIRIS and intervention. Just some things. The values of individuals improves the well-being of the participants and their families by addressing the medical, economic, and mental health needs, as well as by helping the participants resume their daily activities. It helps young people to continue to make the healthy transition to adulthood. It helps caregivers and families avoid catastrophic economic impacts. To the neighborhood and community, it's limiting the repercussions of injury and retaliation, keeping the family safe and stable, and provides opportunity to intervene with high-risk youth and children. And at the institutional level, it feeds back to what the hospitals can do, the education system, criminal justice, and human service systems. And then to the policymakers. It's a resource with potential to expand evidence base on violence and possibly even calculate the return on investment for having these types of interventions and being able to further understand why it's happening and apply that to future prevention programs and eventually get our return on the investment. Some priorities for the current year are capturing more eligible participants, refining the baseline and additional cost estimates, analyzing the protective and risk factors, referring participants to evidence-based programs, which, you know, I've seen a lot today and yesterday through the poster sessions and the oral sessions of things that could be, you can incorporate into the PURIS program, and linking the data acquisition system to other local data sources, and then, of course, always finding new funding sources for PURIS enhancement, because this $1.3 million is supposed to be for statewide, but it's taken that much just in Philadelphia. So it's being able to find those other funding sources or going back to our state legislature and trying to get more funding for this for other parts of the state. That's my presentation. I do have PowerPoint and business cards up here for anyone who would like them. And I thank you very much.
I'd like to thank all the presenters. I think this has really been a diverse and yet, you know, a clear and consistent message. Before opening it up, I'd just like to say that I'd like to urge those of you who are here who are not from the Injury Control and Emergency Health Services section to sign up. It's a section where violence prevention is a very, very important priority, and we need all the people interested in violence prevention we possibly can have engaged in that section, and we need a voice for injury and violence prevention within APHA, and even more importantly, thinking strategically about how we're going to have an impact across the country. Why don't we start with comments and questions, and why don't we begin with Renee?
Hi, thank you to all of the
Thank you.
Yes, please. Couple of you mentioned money as a concern. I was wondering how optimistic or pessimistic you're feeling. Funding. That was what they most were interested in. And I said, well, the only way is to be in a demonstration project to other people. And it kind of reminds me of you saying kind of become a national kind of training center and how we really establish and root these projects in every community in the United States that needs them, which is unfortunately.